lift our voices. Hallelujah. Glory to the name of the Lord our God. Come on, Jesus is here right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus is in the room. Come on, let's make him feel welcome. Would you avail yourself of his presence? Would you surrender? Submit to the hand of God in this house. Glory to the name of our God. I love you. I love you. Amen. Amen. I appreciate the hand of God that is in this sanctuary today. Amen. I appreciate the depth of God's Spirit. Amen. Preparing our hearts for the manifestation of his will. Amen. The power of preaching is not just up to the preacher. We will read today, as you're standing, if you'll turn to Revelation, the third chapter. But over and over again, Revelation chapters 2 and 3, we read, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. It takes more than an anointed message for your life to be changed, delivered, whatever you need today. There's a lot that only you and God know about, but I promise you, God knows about everything. I can be as anointed as I have ever been, but you have to grant the word entrance. You have to open up. It's hard to believe. I cannot hardly wrap my mind around it. I understand human nature, and so I do understand this, but it's hard to imagine how that anyone could have witnessed in person the ministry of Jesus Christ and not been changed. But there were those who saw him with their own eyes, God manifest in the flesh, heard his voice there when he worked miracles. Maybe even miracles in their own home or their own family, but because they did not give him permission, give him opportunity. Can only go so far. God will go as far as you let him go in your life. I'm not speaking in condemnation today. I'm just trying to help us all understand. What I'm about to preach may be old news to a lot of people, but I'm still hungry for the word of the Lord. Amen. If I hear another message on salvation, I'm already saved. Amen. I'm receiving it because I want to stay saved. I want to help somebody else be saved. Amen. I may have holiness and separation down to a T. I may have all my I's dotted and my T's crossed and all my life's in order and everything is just right. But I am never exempt from having an ear to hear what the Spirit says. Amen. To the church. Reading verses 20 through 22 in Revelation, the third chapter. Jesus speaks through the Apostle John, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Somebody say, Jesus is at the door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him. You say Jesus will.
Jesus will.
Jesus will come in. And we'll sup with him and he with me. I'll fellowship with those that open the door. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Would you say it again? Jesus will.
Jesus
Even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Amen. I will come in, Jesus said. I will grant opportunity. I will grant privilege. I will make the difference. Amen. Amen. I want to preach about the will of God again. I taught about it on Wednesday. I'm going to try to preach about it tonight. I'm still under the burden about the will of God in my life, in your life, this church, everyone that's here today. Amen. I want to come at it from this perspective this afternoon. Jesus will. Jesus will. Amen. Would you lift up your hands together? Would you lift up your voices? Let's call upon his name. I love you, Savior. I worship. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Thank you for your presence here. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen, amen. Please be seated. Lord bless you. Amen. The will of God was experienced in Jekyla's life Friday night at youth service when she was filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. We're excited about that. And we're planning on baptizing her in Jesus' name this afternoon toward the end of this service. Amen. Salvation is for whosoever will. Amen. Who will surrender? Whosoever will allow God to work his will in their life. Amen. As a way of reminding us about the importance of the will of God. The Bible instructs the church through the pen of the Apostle Paul to not be unwise, but understand the will of the Lord. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Amen. We spent a lot of time, most of our time Wednesday evening, about the day-to-day will of God. The doing of God's will in our daily lives. Allowing the big picture of God's will to unfold in our lives day by day. Amen. The will of God. Everybody say that with me. The will of God. That word will simply refers to what God wishes or has determined to be done. This is what God desires. This is God's preference. This is God's will. It also refers to what God wishes to be done by us. And so my actions are involved in the will of God being done. Amen. How many wants to understand more about God today? Amen. Understanding what God wishes or has determined to be done. Understanding what God wants you and me to do in our lives. I want to help us understand more about God's will this afternoon. And the key to experiencing the best of God's will in your life is to submit your will to His will. Now, what I'm about to launch into, I'm telling you, it's not popular in this generation, but it's still right. What I'm about to preach is not easy. Amen. It's not fun. It doesn't come natural to our flesh, but it's the right thing to do. Amen. We're going to have to lay our pride down to do the will of God. We're going to have to submit our preferences so that His preferences can be experienced in our lives. Amen. Jesus, our ultimate example, as He prayed in the garden, and He said, "Father, if Thou be willing, Lord, if there's any way, remove this cup from me. I don't want to drink of this cup. I don't want to go through with this. I know what's around the corner. Harder times than what I've already experienced. Pain, suffering, rejection, and death itself. There is a cross waiting for me. There's nails already set aside. There's a hammer available to a Roman soldier to drive those nails into my hands and my feet, nailing me to the cross." We can understand why the man, Christ Jesus, would pray, "I don't want to die. I don't want this to happen in my life. If Thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, this is the key to the will of God." Again, the will of God is not always fun. The will of God is not always easy, but the will of God is always best. Let me help somebody here right now. Stop determining the will of God in your life by what makes you feel good. Amen. I'm not saying the will of God is always miserable, but there are times if the will of God's going to be done, your flesh will be uncomfortable. Your flesh will be inconvenienced. Amen. Your preferences are going to have to be put aside, and you're going to have to submit your pleasure, your fun, your desire to Him. I told you this is not popular preaching. Amen. Nevertheless, these three words are key. Not my will. Not my will. That's how the will of God happens when yours doesn't. I'm submitting my will to you. Not my will, but Thine be done. Notice the very next thing that happened, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Right. Yes, sir. Right. Everybody wants angelic visitations, but not everybody wants to submit their will to God. Right. Yes, sir. Everybody wants heaven to come down. Right. Amen. But there was some more praying to be done. Amen. The next phase of his prayer. Amen. The Bible said in verse 44 of Luke 22, Jesus was in agony as he prayed more earnestly. Sounds very earnest prayer. Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. That's a very earnest prayer. But there's another dimension of prayer that he was to go into. Amen, man. But heaven could not give him the strength. to take that next step in the will of God until he first submitted this step to the will of God. There's somewhere I've got for you to go, and there's something I've got for you to do. There's a prayer I've got you to pray, but you'll never experience it until you first say, not my will. I feel the word of God in my mouth. Amen. I'm talking to somebody right now. Please listen to me with all your attention. You've been standing at the fulfillment of God's will in your life for far too long. And God has angels standing by, ready to be dispatched to give you what you need for the next step in the will of God being unfolded. Amen. God has an angel. Amen. Designed and designated for you to take you through that door of opportunity, but the angel can't come until you first say, not my will. Amen. If Jesus, amen, I'm talking about his humanity and his flesh. I hope I'm helping somebody right now. I feel like I am. I feel like something's breaking open in the Holy Ghost. I feel like there's a Holy Ghost confirmation waiting in the wings of this service. Let's lift our hands right now. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Somehow Jesus could have looked around the corner and saw that more earnest prayer. The Bible said he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, being in agony. Ah, there's no way. This is as far as I can go. There's no way I can go any further. You're right. You by yourself can't. But with heaven's help, you can. But heaven can't help you until you submit. Amen. Angels can't come and minister until you say, amen, and live, not my will. Amen. Those words can be spoken. Amen. It's easier said than done. But there's far more to not my will than just saying not my will. These are not words that you just speak and something happens. This is a lifestyle. This is a decision. This is a surrender. This is a submission. Amen. Not my will. Amen. Contrasting right and wrong, light and dark, good and evil, holy and profane. You know, there's just not, to my knowledge, anything or anyone more opposite to Jesus than the devil. More opposed, more distinct, more different. And we read in Isaiah 14 about Lucifer, son of the morning. And Isaiah's prophesying, you are fallen from heaven. You are cast down to the ground. This is why he was demoted from his heavenly position. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will. I will. It doesn't necessarily matter altogether what words follow I will when the motive behind I will is wrong. Now you can say I will pray. I will worship. I will be faithful. I will submit, and that's really what you're doing. And so the sin and the problem is not in I will, it's the attitude of I will not submit. What Lucifer is saying is my will. What Jesus prayed was not my will. Amen. I just saw something here. Let me share it with you. Amen. Amen. Lucifer wasn't praying, but Jesus was. Hey, are you? You got your Holy Ghost hearing aids turned on right now. A good sign that you need to have a prayer meeting is when you're saying, "Not my will." Or my will. Amen. A good sign that the will of God is going to happen is when you're praying, not what I want, God, but what you want. It's a good sign, amen, when your heart says, "Not my will, but thine be done." Oh, but it's past time to go to an altar when all you can say is, "I will exalt myself. I will do this, and I will do that, and I will achieve this, and I will become that, and I will get the glory, and I will get the credit, and I will get the praise, and I will get the accolades." No, what you're going to get is a spiritual demotion. Not my will get you exalted. I will get you demoted. He that will deny himself, the Lord will lift him up. He that humbles himself, the Lord raises him up. Amen. I'm obviously not preaching against drive and determination and passion. Amen. This is the height of it. There is no greater passion manifested than when you are passionate enough to humble yourself and to surrender and submit yourself. I know there's passion involved in about everything that we do. And there's a lot of passion involved in pride. But there's more passion involved in submission. Hey, it takes more desire and more drive, amen, to humble yourself, to surrender your will to the throne of God and to the hand of the Lord. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to hit a few high places here. As a matter of fact, to every church that we read about in Revelation 2 and 3, there were seven churches mentioned. The church at Ephesus, the church at Smyrna, the church at Pergamos, the church at Thyatira, the church at Sardis, the church at Philadelphia, and the church at Laodicea. We've already read what Jesus said concerning his will to the Laodicean church. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I'm making my presence known." That's what's happening here in this service right now. At some point before I began to preach, and certainly even more as we come into the word of the Lord, God is making his presence known, and he is manifesting his desire. Some of you feel comforted by it. Some of you feel a little uncomfortable. Some of you don't know what to do with what you're feeling. I want to help you here before I'm done. Amen. Don't ignore the knock at your heart's door. Amen. Don't tune out your ear to the voice that might sound a little strange.
Say it right.
I'm not speaking in generalities. There's a reason why I just felt what I felt. I'm preaching to somebody right now. You know enough about Jesus to know that if I let him in, things are going to have to change. If Jesus comes in, there's some language I'm going to have to stop speaking. If I don't go and open up the door, there's some music I'm going to have to stop listening to. Or he won't hang around very long. And I want communion with him. My soul is hungry for more of God. I know enough about God that if I let him in, things are going to be different. And your flesh is crying, amen, "I don't want to turn loose. I don't want to let go. I'm having too much fun." Hey man, your flesh, as long as you're out and away from God's presence, amen, soothes your conscience and justifies your decisions, and you don't feel any conviction. But when you hear the voice of God, all of a sudden what you felt good about yesterday, you don't feel so good about anymore. Why? Because the spirit of truth and the voice of truth has come. I'm talking to somebody right now. You know what it's like to sit at the table with Jesus. You know what it's like to commune with Him. You know what it's like to look across the room and see Jesus sitting in a place of honor. You know what it's like to be in relationship with the Lord. But somehow or another, Jesus is not where He used to be. Or you're still living, amen, where you've always lived. But now you don't see Jesus there anymore because you make Him felt unwelcome and He left. I'm off my notes right now, but I feel like I'm in the Holy Ghost. Yes, sir. Amen. Jesus is not in your home anymore. But He's letting you know. Oh, my Lord. What? Oh, God. Help me, Jesus. I'm telling you, there's no more comforting sound to a hungry soul. Who is it? It is I. Who is it? It's your healer. Who's there? Your comforter's here. The forgiver of your sin. Your advocate is here. Your mediator is here. Your Savior. There's no more comforting sound right now in your heart of hearts than to hear Jesus, amen, knocking on your door and to hear His voice saying, I'm here. And if you'll just open the door, I will come in. I will sup. I will break bread. I will forgive your sin. I will heal your body. I will touch your mind. I will soothe your soul. I will make all things new. What is it? I'm walking carefully right now. I know where I'm at. But what is a comfort now will be a haunt in eternity without a proper response to right now. Because if you don't let Him in and you keep Him out, there's coming a day when it's too late and you're lost for eternity. You're going to hear for eternity. I'm at your door. Somebody let me in. I can make it better. I can give you peace. Amen. You're going to be haunted by your stubbornness. You're going to be haunted by your pride. Amen. You're welcome to look at my simple notes if you so desire. I have nothing about hell in my notes. But I'm preaching to somebody right now. You're on your way to a place that was not prepared for you. You're on your way to a devil's hell. You're on your way to a lake of fire to burn for eternity because you're living without Jesus. Oh, Brother Walter, you're just singing. Let me know I'm not. Amen. I'm in the Holy Ghost. And I love you enough. And certainly
think God loves you enough, amen, to point me in this direction and give me the stern anointing to help you understand this is not judgment. This is mercy. This is not God writing you off. Doesn't feel good. I know it makes you uncomfortable. You need to feel uncomfortable if you're in the house of God and Jesus is on the outside. Oh, thank God I still have some feelings. Church, let's pray right now. I need some prayer warriors to go to war right now. I need somebody that knows what to do it right now and to keep it up. Amen. I need somebody to go to prayer right now and don't stop praying. Amen. Until, amen, we're in the altar service. It may not be loud and boisterous, but in your spirit you're praying. You're allowing yourself to be available. You're humbling yourself. Oh, Brother Walter, I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like laboring in the Holy Ghost. I don't feel like putting myself out. I know. I really don't feel like preaching like I'm preaching right now. Amen. I'm not exactly having a lot of fun, but I know I'm pleasing God. Amen. That's what's driving me. I knew I meant it when I told him today, Lord, I'll say anything you want me to say as long as I know it's what you want said. I meant every word of it, and that's why I'm saying what I'm saying now. That's why the nudge of the Holy Ghost, it didn't nudge me in my office, it nudged me in the pulpit, testing my obedience, and I'm submitted to God right now. You need to hear his voice and open the door. Ephesus, if you'll overcome, I'll give you to eat of the tree of life. If you will, Jesus will. Smyrna, Revelation 2 and 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Jesus will, if you will. There is a prevailing, perverted spirit that has been unleashed from hell in this generation. Amen. It says the things that used to matter don't matter anymore. It's not sin anymore. I'm telling you, if anything has ever been sin, it is still sin. And there were some folks at Pergamos that had gotten distracted. They started justifying carnal humanity and perverted lifestyle. I want to give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they just got beat down. It was all around them every day. It was in every song they heard. It was in every picture they saw. It was in every article they read. It sounds like this modern generation. You can't even, amen, scroll through the headlines on your smartphone news app without guarding your eyes. It's a crying shame. You can't even read the news anymore without perversion being thrown in your face. Amen. And there was a sect called the Nicolaitans. Man, there was a group of people that they said, you can do what you want to do, and if it feels good, it's okay. Amen. You can act any way you want to with anybody you want to. As a matter of fact, this is how far it had gone.
Amen. Those in this group of Nicolaitans taught the community of wives. In other words, we'll share our spouses with one another. And to an apostolic Jesus name church, the Spirit said,
there are those that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. You believe it's okay.
You feel like it's okay to act married with somebody you're not married to, or somebody that's married to somebody else. I know it's quiet, but that's still sin. I said sexual relations of any kind outside the bounds and the bond of holy matrimony is a sin. And it will send you to hell if you don't repent of it. Flee fornication, the Bible says. What know you not that your bodies are a temple of the Holy Ghost? You are not your own. There's a prophetic anointing on me right now. Hey man, you are not your own, but you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit. Come on, if God's not getting glory out of it, why are you doing it? Somebody better hear this preacher right now. If God's not getting glory out of that text, don't hit send. I don't care who's texting. I don't care what they're saying. I don't care what Hollywood is doing. I don't care what social media is prevalent and popular and prominent. If you can't give God glory in it, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Flee fornication. Some comic strips that you can't read.
That's right.
If you want to please God,
there's pictures that you can't look at and glorify God. There's thoughts that you can't entertain and glorify God. Brother Walter, I can't help what comes to my mind. You're right, but you can help how long it stays there. Brother Walter, I can't help what's walking down the aisle at Walmart, but you can't help what you do with your eyes when you see what's coming. You can lower your gaze. You can look the other way. I know I'm being very plain right now, but that's the kind of anointing that's on me. This is how serious the Holy Ghost is about your will. You see, when you go to the restaurant after church, your will's going to be tested. Because it's very likely your waitress won't be dressed in apostolic fashion. And you'll have an opportunity to exercise your will or to submit your will to Him. And glorify God in your body and your spirit. Little s, human, emotion, desire, passion, thought, spirit. There are no excuses and there are no exceptions. This is not of what nationality you are. This is not what age you are. This is not what culture you're from. It's this right here. All scripture is given by inspiration and it's profitable. Not for Caucasians, not just for Hispanics, not just for Africans, not just for Asians, Not just for Latinos. For everybody. This is the word of God to you. And this book right here says the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Amen. There's some perverse doctrines and so-called apostolic movements that say we're just going to let our teenage boys and girls do what they want to do while they're a teenager. Amen. Just live any old way they want to live and let them get out of their system. Amen. And later on they'll live. No. That's perverted. I said that's perversion. That's false doctrine. 15 is sin. If you're 15, 25, 35, 45. Glorify God in your body. Glorify God with your eyes. Glorify God with your hands. Glorify God with your mouth. Glorify God with your ears. And Jesus told them in Pergamos to repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly. You see, there's another I will. And it's not near as fun, not near as satisfying or gratifying. Jesus wants the I will to be a positive thing in your life. He wants it to be enjoyable. I will come in and sup with you. I'll fellowship with you. I'll help you. I'll strengthen you. I'll touch you. But if you refuse to repent, that coin has another side. And I still will. But I'll come and I'll fight against you with the sword of my mouth. He said, I'm going to send the word of God against you. Oh, I feel the fear of God here right now. I'm telling you, you don't want to cross swords with God. You don't want to cross swords with the sword. If this is too old-fashioned for you, amen. I don't want to be out of the way right now, but this is not too old-fashioned for God. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's the will of God for you to submit your will. It's the will of God for you to repent of your sin. It's the will of God for you to repent of your fornication. Somebody better hear by the Waldrop right now. There's more to fornication than the physical act. Did not Jesus, the Word made flesh, say, if a man looks upon a woman to lust after her, he's committed adultery with her in his heart? In other words, you take another look. You take another glance. You click on the picture. You magnify the image. I know this is embarrassing to somebody. I'm not having fun, but I'm in the Holy Ghost. Somebody's been doing that and doing it quite often. And except thou repent, this is what's happening. God is sending His word. And it's opposed to your lifestyle. It's opposed to your preference. Amen. But this is your salvation. If you'll repent, He'll have mercy. I said, if you'll submit and surrender, He'll have mercy.
If you feel conviction and not reject it and not spurn it and not justify it and not turn to all your other carnal friends that say it's okay, it's just because of who we are, it's just the generation we're living in, it's not always a problem. Yes, it's still a problem. Lust is still a all that's in the world. Amen. It's of the devil and not of the Father. It's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Amen. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Amen. I know it's not like this every service, but bless your heart, there needs to be some services like this every now and then, where we draw a line and say we still preach repentance for sin. We still believe in holiness and separation at Tulsa Lighthouse Church. We still promote purity, honesty, and virginity in the apostolic movement. Come on, I know it's old fashioned, but a chaste lifestyle and the adornment of a meek and a quiet spirit is still the will of God. Tyra, that perverted spirit that was prevalent in Pergamos, has a cousin spirit named Jezebel that teaches and prophesies. My servants to commit fornication. That Jezebel spirit, that rebellious spirit of iniquity that says the rules don't apply to me because of my position, because of my parentage, because of who I am, or because of who I'm married to. She was Queen Jezebel because she was married to King Ahab. Without her marriage, she's just another carnal, sensuous woman in the city. But because she said I do to the king, now she's queen. I'm telling you, I don't care what your last name is, who you're married to, or what position your spouse has. That spirit of iniquity is still an abomination. And this is how that spirit works. If I can get somebody else to do it, I won't feel as bad about doing it myself. That's the avenue that spirit travels on. Just get somebody else to do it with you, and you can justify one another. We can still come to church and lift our hands. We can still talk in tongues. I'm talking to somebody right now. I'm talking to you in the Holy Ghost. We can still be apostolic. No, you can't. You can't be apostolic. You can be a hypocrite. You can be deceived and deceitful, but you can't be an apostolic and live in sin and act like you're saved. Mom and Daddy, if I'm making you uncomfortable right now, this altar has room for you too. I'm not trying to be, I'm being very cautious and careful right now, but somebody's spirit just reared up against me and says, leave my baby alone. It ain't me, it's the Holy Ghost that's trying to save your baby. Well, they're not doing anything that I didn't do when I was their age. That's the problem. Not this, not just as what they're doing, but you're justifying what they're doing because you did it too. Yeah. don't you realize I should have submitted when I was their age? I should have never walked down that road. And I certainly should have never told those stories. I certainly should have, oh my God, have mercy. I should have never put that thought into my son's mind. I should have never painted that picture to my baby girl. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Should have never told those old war stories. But my days before church, glorifying my licentious past and my perverted activities. And now you're going to come up in an apostolic church and bow up against the word of God because you feel conviction. And no, you're not doing that anymore. And thank God you've been forgiven. Amen. But guess what? You've got a child now that needs forgiven. And you're fighting against forgiveness. Amen. Because you won't relinquish. Amen. Jesus is knocking on a family's door right now. There's some stuff going on in home. Amen. That calls Tulsa Lighthouse Church your church. And calls Pastor Gary Howard your pastor. There's some stuff going on inside that house that doesn't give God the glory. And Jesus is on the outside trying to get in. Would somebody please grant him entrance? Pray with me. Pray with me, church. Pray with me. Come on, I need somebody to war against the perverted spirit. I need somebody to war against the spirit of deception. I gave her a space to repent. I gave Jezebel herself a chance to be saved. But she refused. She refused to come to an altar. She refused to say, I'm sorry. She refused to acknowledge her sin. And so I'll cut her off. I'll kill her children. What are you saying? I will remove the unholy seed from my people. This is not holier than thou. But this is time to repent. God has room for you in his kingdom. If you'll repent, there's room for anybody that'll repent, but room for nobody that won't. I said there's room for anybody that'll repent, but there's room for nobody that refuses to submit, refuses to surrender their will to the will of God. This is not the will of the preacher. This is not the will of your pastor. This is the will of God.
been living life as a hypocrite. Don't you dare start talking in tongues right now. But you get yourself in this altar and you repent of your hypocrisy. Don't flip your Holy Ghost switch right now and fit in with the real move of God. I need some real apostolics to be real right now. Let's pray the will of God right now. Would you lift up your voice? Let's talk to the Lord. We want to take this step in Jesus' name. This is not judgment. This is mercy. But this is the voice that's saying judgment's coming if you don't repent. A call to repentance is not judgment. It prevents judgment from coming. A call to repentance, the naming of sin. If I were so led and so directed of the Holy Ghost to come and stand in front of you and point my finger in your face and say, this is who you are. And this is what you've been doing. And this is what you've been listening to. And this is what you've been watching. And this is the reasoning that you've been using. And these are those that you have invited to join you. And these are the ones that you've shared your iniquity and your carnality with. If I were so directed of God, that would not be judgment. If it brought repentance, that's mercy. But judgment comes to those who will not repent of your sin. Pray again with me, church. Momo indene ando ko itia bahashe to mahakiatai. Tone ito hakaite shikato bahai. Once again, maybe I'll have to try to finish this message later, but this is as far as I can go. Let's stand. The Holy Ghost is wooing somebody's soul. Don't be haunted in eternity by this message. Don't hear my voice echoing all throughout eternity. It's time to repent of your fornication. I gave you space to repent. I gave you an opportunity to pray. Come on, let's do what God is calling us to do right now. If any man will come and open, Jesus will come in. Doesn't matter who you are or what you've been doing, he's knocking on your door today. Your lifestyle of perversion and sin and justification and iniquity does not exempt you from repentance. There's things that your ungodly lifestyle exempts you from, but it doesn't exempt you from the altar. And if I read in this precious book, I gave Jezebel a space to repent, surely he'll give anyone a space to repent of their deeds. This is mercy. You don't have to keep doing what you've been doing. For with every temptation, there's a way of escape. You don't have to click on it. You don't have to listen to it. You don't have to read it. You can say no to your flesh. The Bible speaks of the angelic host. Thusly, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them that shall be heirs of salvation? God has a visitation for you in spite of you. If you will humble yourself and sincerely pray, not my will. It's then that angels are dispatched. It's then that strength from heaven comes. It's then that anointing for the next step comes. And you are granted grace to do what you never dreamed you could do in the kingdom. A sincere prayer. Not my will. Not my will. Not my will. The Let's lift our hands again right now. Let's love the Lord. I would be remiss. Would you please close your eyes? Please be in prayer, everybody. I'm asking you to respect what the Holy Ghost is doing right now in this church. I would be remiss to preach the importance of repentance and not give someone who needs it an opportunity to pray, not my will. Forgive me, wash me, purge me, have mercy upon me, O God. This is not judgment. This is mercy. These altars are open. For those that need to open the door and invite Jesus in. Church, pray. Please, don't be looking around. It's none of your business who's responding or not responding. God will forgive any sin that's repented of. God will forgive any sin that's repented of. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, somebody else. I don't feel a release. You need to acknowledge I've boxed God out. Against thee, O Lord, have I done this sin and this iniquity. I love you, Jesus. Come on, church, pray with me. I know I'm asking a lot, but I'm not asking too much. Holy, 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 holy. blot out my transgressions. Purge me with hyssop. Oh, wash me and I shall be clean. Give me grace and strength to say no to me. Yes to you. See, this is where it's at. It's not just saying no to the devil. Anybody that sees the devil ought to say no to him. It's saying no to you. That's where the challenge lies. Saying no to yourself. And Jesus prayed earnestly. My flesh don't want to die. I don't want to agree to these terms. This is not what I want. Nevertheless, not my will. It wasn't about the devil. It was about his humanity. It wasn't about Satan or Lucifer. It was about his flesh. And that's where the battle is right now. Hallelujah. I'm inviting the church family to come. I would ask in particular if you have children or grandchildren in these altars, brothers or sisters, family members. Amen. Get close to them. Pray for them. We're going to go somewhere in the Holy Ghost. We're not near done. I love you, Jesus. I worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Bring your voice with you. You come to this altar, bring your voice with you. Bring your faith with you right now, and let's exercise it in Jesus' name.